They love transvestites. Now, this is weird. I have done some freaky shit.
Hey boys, I have a headache.
That makes absolutely no goddamn sense whatsoever.
Movies in the Buff.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery, Carl.
You know what this movie needs? More black butt shots.
And lovely Lisa.
I could use some guns and butter.
And, of course, Scully.
I feel like I missed that. We noticed your white warning. Please don't watch this movie and feel like you know anything about blacks.
Now, just all I have to say here is we went from black butts to guns and butter to white people.
Yeah. So did this movie.
Yeah. Well, actually, this movie completely missed white people entirely.
That's
I'm actually
true.
Pretty confident there was not a white cast member anywhere. I'm pretty confident the guy holding the boom mic was black.
That's not true. They did have a token white guy. It was the guy doing the infomercial on the TV.
God, that's right. Oh my God.
This is as natural as a white man's dialogue in a Spike Lee movie.
Oh.
Ouch. That's right. I said it. Can't take it back now. Anyway, and if you haven't figured it out, because you probably haven't, tonight we are buffing Baby Boy, drawing an incisive picture. This gritty urban drama follows 20-year-old Jody Summers, an unemployed man-child who lives with his mother in South Central Los Angeles, and has to embrace embraces irresponsibility despite having all their two illegitimate children. Seriously, I really wish I would have read that synopsis before I read it aloud.
Tried to read it aloud.
Wow. That is a horrible synopsis.
Apparently you can't talk today.
I can talk.
Yeah. You can't breathe.
I can't breathe very well, and I can't laugh, but I can talk.
Do we want to go into anything about your horrible accident on recording day last week?
Well, okay, here's the reason I wasn't here last week, listeners. I had an incident at work that basically left me falling 5 feet onto my neck and caused some damage that I'm still very, very sore from. But I'm here this week, at least. I'm not in the hospital. So, and it literally happened like 4 hours before we were ready to record. So, yeah, it was not a good day for me at all. So I do apologize for missing last week, listeners, and I'm glad to be back this week.
Well, if
They're
you
glad
had
to have you back.
If you hadn't been back this week, we were going to skip this movie and come back to it, so I'm not sure how I feel about you being back this week.
Hey, at least we got it knocked out and out of the way, right? You know, and what really bothers me about this is I'm actually a huge fan of Tyrese Gibson as an actor.
Oh, yeah, I have more to say about him later.
All right. Okay, so I guess we'll move into our like and dislike segment, and I'm going to start off with Scully. Scully, did this movie make you wet or frigid?
Oh, frigid.
Oh, yeah?
Even with all of the nice, great, beautiful black butts, there was just not enough to make up for it when it's really, really great sex scene yelling. Really great sex scene yelling. Like, all right, I got the pattern. Can we move on?
You know, as if this episode's not going to be racist enough, I have to say it. It sounds like Scully has a bit of jungle fever there.
Yeah. If it's good, I like it. That's it. If you're good enough, I don't really care what color the skin is.
There you go. There you go. All right, so Lisa, wet or frigid?
Frigid. I was very, very frigid.
I don't understand how these girls didn't get turned around by Ving Rhames doing the hopscotch.
I will admit to that being hilarious, but yeah, that was about it.
While we're talking about this, I just want to throw this out there. After I saw this movie for the first time, I was dating this girl for like 4 years. I think we'd been together 2 years at this point. And I attempted that move. It worked. I'm not going to say it worked particularly well, but it worked. Now, just for the record, you know, Ving Rhames, his size compared to this woman's size, the girl I was actually dating was very, very skinny, but she was my exact same height. She was 6 feet tall. So the leverage didn't work out quite the same. Just going to say that. Carl, hard or flaccid?
If I was any more flaccid, I would be female. It's like trying to crawl up and hide.
I just can't make a joke here that's not already been made by your statement. Anyway, and for those of you listeners who care, I'm gonna give this movie like a nudge, like a nub.
It's a nudge. Legs. It's like a hey.
Yeah.
Hey, are you awake?
Wake up, Dan. Wake up. Anyway, and only because I like a lot of the acting in this movie, to be honest. I think the writing is shit, but at least the emotions came across as fairly true.
Yeah. I will say that this movie was not nearly as bad as I expected it to be from looking at it.
Yeah.
Looking at it, I was expecting Friday meets Big Daddy, and that was not quite what we got.
This
I would agree with Carl on that one.
This movie, I mean, in general, can be defined as Friday trying to be serious. Do you see what
I'm... Well, there were scenes it's failed miserably on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's like Friday trying to be serious.
I could go with that.
Anyway, moving into our roundtable today.
Gotta say, I love the effect at the beginning of this movie, though. That was really pretty.
But it was taken away by the whole, like, overly filtered, naked Tyrese Gibson. And the sad part is, the movie buff in me wants to be more disgusted by the overly filtered part, but the actual male in me is kind of vomiting a little by the Tyrese Gibson in the placenta bed.
That isn't just you being male. I was kind of a little grossed out about that.
Yeah, I was
different if it's a baby.
What they used. I couldn't figure out what it was they were using, if it was like yarn or cloth of some kind, or it really didn't look right. It kind of looked like felt. And it gave this really odd impression. It didn't give you anything organic out of it at all. It gave you like a really bad art piece.
Yeah, that's what it kind of seemed like to me.
Although now I'm really wanting to have sex on a felt bed.
Overshare! did not need to know that.
And I just have one. I just have two words for you, Rod. Rug burn.
Oh, that would hurt. Oh.
Depends on the felt. Sometimes you can get some good felt.
Oh. Well.
Yes. Okay, I'm shutting up there.
Sorry, now all I have is this picture in my head of Yoda going, repeating that statement, going, sometimes you get felt good.
I'm trying to work this into a felt up joke. I can't quite get there. I'm working.
I think I just did.
Well. Anyway. But then you have Tyrese being born, which was... Okay, it looked like something off of MTV. When was this movie made?
2001.
This is way too late for this shot. It would have worked great in the 80s.
This movie wouldn't have been made in the 80s.
That's true.
Yeah.
80s black guys were so much different.
90s, maybe.
Well, in 2001, it was very reminiscent of the 90s black guy.
Yeah.
And let's face it, in 2001, we didn't really get out of the 90s. We didn't really get out of the 90s until almost 2003, 2004.
Well, and that always happens.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to throw that out there, in 2001, I was in 10th grade.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Texas.
Yeah. I was already out of college. Heck, my son was already born when this movie came out.
He was.
No, this movie came out in June. He was born in September.
Oh, well, he was almost born.
He had been conceptualized.
Yeah.
Anyways. I don't really... Like, the beginning of this movie was such a freaking blur. The character set up...
Yeah, I...
Okay, it's obvious looking at them who this character is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Although I will say, since nobody else has mentioned it, our usual argument against voiceover intros, didn't mind it so much. I mean, I got the idea that they were telling us the entire explanation of the movie, not plot-wise, but point-wise.
Yeah.
But that was, it didn't bother me as much.
I don't know how
you know,
does. Statement.
I think the reason that I don't remember much of it, well, I'm thinking that the reason I didn't mention it is because I don't remember much about that part.
That was where he was talking about the psychologist who has this theory that black men have been...
They've been manipulated by society in order to not grow up. They're constantly being belittled. Yep, they're constantly in a state by society, by the white man, for being belittled. It was very Panther Pride-ish, and I swear to God I've heard it somewhere else before from probably the actual psychiatrist study in some random psych class that I took in college.
I'm sure.
Probably. Yeah.
But, or Black History Month or something that they did. They were like, here, be a little bit more aware.
What I'm trying to figure out, though, I've never heard a black man call his woman his mama.
I haven't either.
I can say it's definitely something that I had heard previously.
Yeah, I was familiar with the slang.
It really overgeneralized and over-stereotyped it, though. Yeah. Like, calling it its crib, and then later on in the movie, one of the other, Sweet Pea actually goes, Mikasa... is Tsukasa, and I'm sitting here going, so you called it his house, but previously in the intro you said you always call it a crib, which only brought to the fact that the quote in the beginning was a very broad generalization of a quote of a psychiatrist to try and get you to understand that he's just a kid. He hasn't grown up yet.
I've heard everybody use the word. So are we going back to my crib?
Yes,
I've heard that.
But it started as black urban slang.
Yep.
Yes. I know where it started from. I've heard that. I've heard baby mama. But I've never heard anyone call their woman mama. I don't care what the skin color was. I've never heard that.
I recently had one ask me to call her dad. Ask me if she could call me daddy, but I was not into that because incest is just not my thing.
That's a completely different thing.
It is. And I'm just going to point out, Rod, that it's not your thing, mostly because we know your family.
I guess, maybe. I just, I was so not into that. That was really creepy. And
that is.
I won't be doing that.
He's right. That is a completely different thing from what this movie was trying
to
get across.
I'm just making
And what was the other one that he said, mama, crib, and there was one other
boys.
One?
Boys.
Your
which
boys.
I heard that.
Yeah, your boys.
Mm-hmm. And I have heard that.
And then they proceeded to call each other cousin all the way through the movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, could you drive me any more crazy with your continuity?
Well, actually, it was cuz or bra, not...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, when they were beating up the kids, it was said cousin, full-blown during the whole mugging thing. Everybody kept saying cousin, cousin, cousin. And I'm like, well, now I know what you're saying when you say cuz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure if that was meant intentionally or not, because yes, okay, so you know the movie establishes or says this psychological theory at the beginning of it, and then proceeds to break every single one of those examples, and yet also support the theory.
Yeah, but they did the supporting of the theory more through his actions and a lot of the imagery that they did. A lot of the bicycle, I swear to God, that bicycle was like, oh, really? Really? You're going to drive that home just a little bit harder by having him riding a bicycle instead of driving a car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which, you know, granted,
I
is something
the
they
bicycles.
Do. So.
Yes. Bikes for good. He's building model cars, for crying out loud. I mean, the building of model cars as a hobby was kind of like, oh, still a kid.
Yeah.
I think we might be actually skull fucking ourselves right now and trying to read way deeper into this movie than what it was intended.
To be a really deep movie. I think it failed miserably, but that's what it was intended
I'm
to be.
I'm going with it's just not that kind of movie, guys.
I have a hard time with whether or not this movie was had the amount of symbolism intended Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this movie was intended to be really deep and striking. Uh-huh. I'm not sure it succeeded at it.
Well, fair enough.
But yes, I am pretty sure that all of the symbology is supposed to be there.
Symbology. I think the word you're looking for is symbolism.
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 And yes, okay. We caught you did that on purpose.
Yeah. New addition to the drinking game. Anytime Rod attempts to imitate an actor or actress.
Can't help it that I actually had a tiny orgasm while doing that.
Okay.
Again, with the
wheelchair.
I think we're going to have to add something else to this drinking game.
Every time you call overshare?
Yes, because Rod is always doing this.
The only thing I'm saying, it has been a week since I have had the physical ability to have a sexual encounter or even masturbate. So you're just going to have to deal with a lot of
what I mean?
It's been a week since you were able to brush his teeth would have been fine. You could have stopped there. Putting on socks and shoes. That's another great place to stop. We get the idea.
Brush your hair is good, too. You know, we don't have to go above the ankle or below the neck.
Shit, you've seen Rod. I'm pretty sure by now he doesn't have any hair to brush.
Oh, go fuck
yourself. I've seen pictures recently. He does have hair. Oh. Not much, but he has some.
I have hair.
Bald, like behind, almost all the men in this movie were off topic.
Okay, you're right. The introduction of Ving
Rhames. Definitely has more than the men in the movie. By the way, take a drink. We got off track.
The introduction of Ving Rhames. What can we say about the character?
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, there's a good actor in here.
Yeah.
Well, most of the people in here
interestingly, yeah. And the actor of Jody?
Tyrese Gibson. It's the guy from Too Fast, Too Furious.
He actually started.
He was good in Too Fast, Too Furious. Mm. This one I don't think was made for him.
Well, this was...
It wasn't. It was written for Tupac.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Unfortunately, Tupac died.
And they put a giant, giant poster.
Oh, I loved that mural, though.
I actually did, too. Especially with the actual, like, glass diamond in the nose.
Mm-hmm. And all of the Tupac songs playing. I really did like it.
Creepy.
That explains why I recognized him.
Mm. Oh, creepy.
Anyway, but like I said, Ving Rhames' character, you know, you see him and you know who he is. You know he's the thug, the antagonist, so to say. And that's another problem that I had with this movie. I mean, it did not really, until the last act, it didn't really have a detailed antagonist. You know what I mean?
Well, no, Rodney was pretty well detailed.
But that was the last act.
That was the last act. And you're right. Most of the... Okay, Rod, I'm going to put this in words in a way that you will understand. The first three quarters of this movie are Buffy season 6. The big bad is life.
Got it. Got it, okay.
That was the major antagonist. The major antagonists through the first three quarters of this movie were life and himself.
See, that's what I was thinking, is maybe they tried to display Jody as the antagonist in the first two acts and then flipped it with Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just... I mean, anybody who's been involved in any kind of drama, whether it be on film, on stage, any kind of, you know, enacted drama, knows that you have to establish your antagonist.
I've seen examples where you change the bad guy in mid production, where the bad guy becomes the good guy.
I've never seen it done successfully.
It does seem kind of weird sometimes.
Or in the case of Macbeth, it's when the good guy becomes the bad guy by the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Play.
Yeah, but I was sitting there thinking about that, too, actually.
I was like,
did she just say movie? Has she been watching way too much Gibson lately? For those of you playing the home game, yes, I know Gibson was Hamlet. Anyway,
all right, where are we at in this movie?
Bing Rhames.
Well, we just introduced Melvin.
Yeah. And the mom. The mom I love.
Oh, actually, yeah, the mom was awesome.
Oh, she was great.
Now, here's the thing. Now, obviously, Scully, you're kind of left out on this one, but Carl and Lisa, think about my mom if she was black.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's your mom, period, and your mom's whiter than shit. Your mom is whiter than the IMDb background. Come on.
No, that's not
and
right
I'm thinking that the only difference between Jody's mom and your mom is the fact that Jody's mom had a garden in her backyard.
Mom tried. It didn't work out, but she tried.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I did. I love the mom. And I think a lot of it was because she did remind me of my mother. And what my mom would do and say. A lot of the mannerisms. Beyond that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, Melvin was a character that I was just like, really? You got Ving Rhames to play this big, bad, tough thug?
Yeah, and
he did it well.
You know?
Yeah, I loved his character, though, because it was that big, bad, tough thug. I've been places you don't want to know about, and I'm still this really big, soft teddy bear when it comes to my relationships, and like, I've gotten out of it, now I'm this big softy.
Yeah, until he chokes the shit out of Tyrese. So,
I know, except for this little punk.
So pretty much it was Ving Rhames playing
anger management buttons.
Yeah, it was pretty much Ving Rhames playing the same character Ving Rhames always plays.
That's
He always plays that type of character. The one who's really big and tough on the outside and a pushover on the inside.
What was the movie he played where he was gay?
I have no idea.
It was hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't remember. It may have been a TV show or like Saturday Night Live or something. I just remember a scene where he's like this big badass, like walks in, he's real mean and everything. And then all of a sudden he like prances off with his hands in the air with the whole gay trot thing.
I really think that was an SNL skit.
Yeah, it may be an SNL skit, but it was just hilarious to watch.
The only movie I can think of that we had a big tough guy playing a gay man was The Rock. Was one with The Rock in it.
Yes. Be cool. That was an awesome movie. Thank you, Carl, for forcing me to watch that one. Still never seen Get Shorty, though.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah. But anyway.
It's not as good as Be Cool, though.
But anyway, and if you ever get a chance, watch the Robot Chicken skit with Ving Rhames. Nothing beats when he stands up and he says, the only way to deal with a zombie is blow his freaking head off. There's nothing better than that.
For the record, Ving Rhames, never in Saturday Night Live.
Okay, then I don't know what it was, but I remember seeing it. It may have been like a prison joke, or I don't know. I just remember seeing it. But anyway, then after you have the introduction of Melvin, have we
And if I never see him cooking breakfast in nothing but his socks again, we'll be too soon.
I'm not even sure he had socks on.
Oh, he had socks on.
As long
that was
as
the only
I
thing
never
he was looking at.
I made
socks. He's got socks.
I made
Carl. I'm losing you.
I'll rewind that because he merely placed that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That was. I rewound it just like.
Apparently did because he rewound it too far.
No.
And caught that.
All I have to say about that entire scene is I look at this scene that's on there and I turn and I look at the nightstand. And the box of Swiss cake rolls that I have just bought is sitting on the nightstand. And then I turn and look at his ass. And then I turn back and look at the Swiss cake rolls. Then I pull a package out and look at it. For the record, since that moment, I've not eaten another one of that box.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I think the best part, though, was the sex scene that he did.
Oh,
but
God,
was
yes.
The squat and chicken was great. I couldn't stop laughing the entire time.
That was hilarious.
Now, which one was
it? The squat fuck.
Oh, the one that I was talking about earlier. The across.
Yeah, where Jody's mother kept telling him to squat.
Oh my God, no! The best part was, dude. You, what is it, babe? You're so sweet. I'm gonna get a cavity.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's awesome.
I missed that quote completely.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'll save that then.
Oh wow.
I heard that, burst out laughing. Mind you, I've been trying to watch this movie, like, off and on while, like, at work, and a little bit before class started. Ironically enough, that scene like jumped on while I was just at work. And I'm the first one in the office, so there's nobody else in the building, thank God. And that thing jumps on, and I instantly started laughing. And I was so glad there was nobody else in the building at the time.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching the movie. I actually had to fast forward through that scene this time, because I'm sitting there watching the movie, and it pops on just as my little boy walks around the corner. And I'm like, whoa. I was able to hit fast forward fast enough he couldn't see it, because he's starting to imitate everything he hears.
Oh, God.
So I didn't want him going to daycare and imitating that. Yeah. So.
And I just want to point out to any guys watching this show or listening to this show, if you are dating a woman who has a child that is over the age of, say, 4, do not, during the first week that you're dating her, decide to cook her breakfast in her house wearing nothing but your socks. There is no call for that.
Jeez.
I don't think there's much depends. Call for that ever.
It depends. Single mom, like, my mom was actually divorced and single while my sister and I were growing up at a very young age. And looking back at it now, I wish she had more guys around doing that for her.
Well, yes, but do
we get
the kids don't need to be seeing it.
No, very much yeah. No.
I would have loved... Women around the world love to have breakfast cooked for them and served in on a tray while they're still in bed.
With
not arguing
that
point. There's a few exceptions.
She drink. Said women around the world.
Yeah.
We're going to go on that. All right.
Drink. Okay. And just for the record,
but
it did crack me up.
Not all women, regardless of whether they have children, want to see... that served with their man being wearing nothing but a socks.
I just want to say, though, it did make me out laughing when he's sitting there cooking sausage, butt ass naked, turns around, you want some breakfast?
Yeah. No.
No.
Oh?
No, not it. You got no, enough, I suddenly lost my appetite.
Yeah, and for the record, who cooks sausage naked? Have you ever tried that? Ow!
That's what I'm thinking.
Way better than bacon.
I don't cook sausage much, or bacon much, but I've cooked hamburger and chicken, and no, I'm not doing it naked.
Wait,
I put
better than bacon.
Clothes on.
I don't know, I eat turkey bacon, it doesn't pop nearly as bad. But anyway.
I just try to avoid cooking naked. if you're going to start cooking, it usually requires a whole lot more of an investment, so you probably should put clothes on.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, cooking naked can be hot.
Yeah, very, especially when you burn yourself.
I was waiting on the...
That's where I was thinking.
Or when you're using jalapenos, yeah.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Drink!
No, you did that for us.
No, I really didn't, Lisa. And I never ever
No, I'm pretty sure we established that he didn't earlier on in this podcast. We need to rewind.
I know what she intended, what she intended to say with that, but she did not say what she intended to say.
Oh, I know. And that was really creepy because now I've got that image in my head and I can't give you so much painkillers.
Okay, next part of this movie.
I'm lost.
We've got through Bing Rhames. Yeah.
There's a whole boatload of establishing that he's jobless, so he tries to get a job selling women's clothes.
Oh yeah.
He can't stick with his own mama. He keeps sleeping around on her, which is fantastic. He mooches his car off of her, which is another fantastic thing. Essentially, it's a lot of establishing that he has not grown up.
Now, I take exception to one thing here. You only ever actually see him sleep with two women in this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yvette, the girl that he's with now, and he goes back to Peanut, his daughter's mother, once.
Now I gotta find another question.
And only once do you actually see the two of them together. And that's at the very beginning of the movie.
There is another time that a girl tried.
Yeah, but that was a whole different thing, and it's later on in the movie. But even though Yvette is constantly accusing him of cheating on her, and he says that he has cheated on her, you never actually see it.
No, but the fact that he had the condom box that had three, but there's only one left, it really implies that he really does actually get around quite a bit. There's no showing of this, but he goes to the strip clubs, he gets the private dances, he picks up the hookers. Like, there's no, I think there was enough sex to begin with. They didn't want to bore us with it by showing him sleeping around with a bunch of hookers. They sort of wanted to get the idea across just by him sleeping with his other baby mama.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, sweet. And I did like him selling the women's clothes. He was actually really good at that.
He was very good at that, but unfortunately he was boosting his whole merchandise.
Yeah, which I thought was hilarious.
Really? See, that
Yeah.
I don't know.
it was
so stereotypical.
Oh, it was very stereotypical.
God, you had to go there.
It was very stereotypical, but it was also, you know that everybody else that he was looking at when he came up with this idea was selling boosted merchandise also.
True.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the guy, the Muslim gentleman who was selling them the pastries, and he's like the...
Oh, Cake Man?
The Cake Man, yeah. I honestly thought he was buying drugs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did too at first.
I am that racist that I was like, he's buying drugs. Oh, no, it's actually cake. Oh. Yeah. Oh, well, now don't I feel really bad and shamed?
Interestingly enough, that guy, the Cake Man, in Coyote Ugly, Showtime, and Dangerous Minds.
Wow.
Those are his other three known fours.
Wow.
I've never heard of him before. His name's Freeze Love.
Freeze Love.
Freeze Love.
You know, in all absolute honesty, fuck it. Be as racist as you want, Scully, because that just opened up that door. There is no more wall there because of that.
Well, truthfully, Scully, I grew up around drugs. I've never done them, but my parents did them. I've got friends that did them. And I thought he was buying drugs or selling drugs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody who's been around a drug deal, sort of you know that. Like, there's that conversation. It's the way they say things. It's always the, we're talking about cake, but by cake we actually mean something completely different. Whatever the local...
Or if you want to go even older than I am, I want a lip. You want three fingers or four?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and... By the way, Freeze Love is his stage name. He's apparently he was a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
Well, he was very funny. Mm. I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just came across a question that said, which actor in Baby Boy also played in a movies with Tom Cruise?
Bing Rames.
Which movies did he play in with Tom Cruise?
Mission Impossibles.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Mission Impossible movies.
I only ever saw one.
Yeah, he's in that one.
He's in that one.
I remember
one.
Him in that one now. Thinking back on it. So anyway, moving on from the boosting, then you have, as was already pointed out, Jody's obvious love for the women, I guess is the only way to describe this properly.
Yeah.
And then you have, Jody flirting with Yvette's coworker, who, by the way, great body, but I just did not find her that attractive in the face.
I didn't either.
I guess
I really thought that was her flaw, was like, wow, just don't look at her from the front.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the face was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
In fairness, I'm not into the ghetto ass. I'm not going to lie. I'm just not. And then at the same time, she's got a great, nice, tight, toned body. And then it gets to the face, and I guess maybe it was the way she did her makeup. I don't know. But something about her face just set me really wrong. Very skanky. You know what I mean?
I noticed a lot of her facial expressions. Like, she held her face odd. Like, when she smiled, she didn't really look right when she smiled. She had a really off smile. So, yeah, I don't know if maybe it was makeup or she actually just... muscularly couldn't produce a very good, genuine, slutty smile.
And funnily enough, Taraji Henson, the chick who plays Yvette, pretty face, not that great a body.
She had a cute body.
She had a cute body until you saw her topless.
Yeah, admittedly.
She had kind of saggy tits.
She had tiny sag. I don't know how in the hell you managed to have an A cup and sag. How does that happen?
Ask my ex-wife.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just saying. Could have
been breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding does that.
Mm.
Anyway, it's beside the point. Also, smoking will do that.
Okay.
Alright.
So where are we in this? I've got, like, terrible notes on this movie.
It's okay, I have no notes on
this movie. I have no notes.
Oh.
I didn't take any either.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So, Carl, you win. I'm pretty sure we could skip the "Were you playing with your Willy" game and say we all were, except Carl, who was actually taking notes.
We've already accomplished the fact that I was not playing with my Willy.
Let's see.
I want to be playing with my Willy right now.
Again, the TMI. Holy crap.
TMFI, man.
Literally. Drink. Now, the next note I have on here is that whole fight with them about leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of fights about that. Which one in particular was that one?
I think this is the one in the garden.
Where he smacks Melvin?
No, I think this was the one in the garden.
Breaks a table.
I said he smacks Melvin. Actually, I think what it was he punched Melvin.
Mm. No, it may have been, but I don't remember. I just remember this being the one with where it starts out in the garden.
Oh, was that where they found where she found the weed?
Yeah.
It may have been that one, or I think it was actually an earlier one, but yeah.
No, this was earlier. I don't remember which one exactly, because she had something around her waist that I went, oh my god, I had one of those. And then I had to shut up.
Ghetto. Anyway. That's it. Scully is ghetto fabulous.
I'm not ghetto fabulous. I swear. You had one too. Maybe not the same model, but you had one too.
What?
She had a Walkman on her waist.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was like, oh my god, I have that one.
Rod may never have had one of those.
I actually did.
Okay.
Scully's the same age as me, isn't she?
Yeah, we're both the same age.
That's true.
I have the Walkman.
The cassette player Walkman, and then we had the CD player Walkman. And
The Discman.
The Discman. Which, for the record, skipped every time you took a step.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You'd actually have to sit there so still so you could listen to your songs.
Well, the problem was is that it was a great idea, except those things would not play. They wouldn't play right if they were vertical.
Yeah.
They wouldn't play right at all. What are you talking about? Vertical or otherwise?
Yeah.
I remember when they first started putting them in cars, and every time you hit a bump, you lost it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, what was greater one is when you hit a bump and it scratched it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, moving on.
Drink.
Yes, drink. Oh, yeah.
Drink.
Actually, before this, Rodney had gotten out of jail and moved back into Yvette's place, right?
Oh, no. This is, we're still way before that. We hadn't even met Rodney yet at the time we had this leave the nest scene. Because just after this is my note where you actually see Yvette and Peanut in the same place at the same time. It's the only time it ever happened, and it struck me as funny.
Yvette's holding Peanut's daughter.
Yeah.
Just for the record, that was hilarious.
Yeah, and then Yvette points to the tattoo that she's got on her chest.
Which you never noticed until this point.
Yeah. Well, that's because in most of the shirts that she wears, you can't see it. Because most of the time you see her.
Naked previously to this, and you didn't notice it.
I'm still trying.
It was obscured by the flapping pit.
Yeah, there you go.
I knew there was a tattoo there, but I couldn't really see what the tattoo was of.
I think it's Joey's name.
Yeah, it's Jody.
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 It was tacky as all get out. It was so ghetto.
I hate those tattoos. The ones
so ghetto. And then they broke up, and I was like, see, don't you regret the tattoo now?
Yeah, this is why you do not tattoo any names onto your body except for yours and your children's.
Mama.
Oh, wow. Now I have the strangest urge to have Mama, I Just Killed a Man tattooed onto my back. Okay, anyway.
Which is totally appropriate because I swear to God, or like later on down in the movie, I swear that was like the line they should have played when he runs home.
Yeah. But anyway, then you have, I like it. I may be skipping ahead here, but I think I'm pretty well on track. Where you have Sweet Pea's house.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sitting there playing the N64.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, because they gave him a place to live and bought him a video game, they owe him. Like, did anybody else catch that?
Yeah, no, I totally caught it. I also caught the fact that he was going psycho on them. Like, I love you guys. I'm trying to make this family. And they're like, just don't talk. Just don't talk. Just don't talk. I'm like, is he crazy? Is this why you're saying don't talk? Because he's just going to go really nuts on you in a couple of seconds. And then Jody does the very typical, you know, third wheel, trying to intervene on behalf of the woman, going, hey, we need to go. Hey, I need you over here. Hey. Essentially, hey, I'm going to try and redirect your rage so that you leave them alone.
See, and I'm thinking that there
was only one to notice that.
A lot of mental issue with Sweet Pea.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was definitely not all there.
Oh, definitely not.
No, yeah. And so, and some of the things he said, especially when he starts talking about, like, finding Christ and, you know, getting saved and all of that, especially when he starts talking about that, it's like, he's somewhere else, you know?
This was a character that needed, that I think probably could have been better understood had he been explored a little bit more.
Yeah. But
yeah, he was in a completely other place from everyone else in this movie, though.
Yeah, it was really, something really horrible had happened to Sweet Pea at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish we could have saw more about that. I mean, as sadistic as it sounds.
As opposed to spending 45 minutes showing the deterioration of Jody and Yvette.
Yeah, exactly. When everybody that, knows exactly what the problem is there.
Yeah, and that just stretched out. I mean, seriously, it was like watching Rod's marriage fall apart.
Drink.
I'm going to say drink, yeah. Wow. I'm just going to say one thing. When this shit heals up, I'm going to start slapping bitches.
Uh-huh.
Carl's first in line, right?
Well, he is the biggest bitch of them all. Ooh. Anyway. No, but then you have
then we have the fight sex.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. No, by the way, we should preempt this with the fact that this is probably the second time we've seen the fight sex happen.
Yeah, that's true. In the last 2 weeks. This is probably the most extreme version of it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I just want to point out that I'm fairly certain that Scully actually got turned on during this scene.
No.
See, the way you talk about it, you're just like, whoa. Yeah, anyway.
God, no. No, I have issues with fight sex.
Really?
Yes.
We won't explore that.
No. I'm just saying they're fighting about something that is a legitimate problem, and then he gets his way out of an argument by having sex with her.
Sex with her. He drilled her.
So, yes, it doesn't matter.
Mounted her.
He was just trying to get out of an argument because she was right. And he didn't want the bad things to happen that would happen after you did this. And yeah, that's my issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're having an argument, it's one thing. You have a legitimate argument going on. You need to finish the whole argument and fix the problem, not forget it and pretend it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which there was a lot of that going on. Oh, we'll pretend it didn't happen. We'll pretend it didn't happen. Like, dude, somebody just died and you're just pretending it didn't happen. That's a great job right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got this whole feeling from this movie that, and the closest thing I've ever lived in to a hood is not quite there, trust me. But I get this weird feeling that in South Central, all the men beat their women. Is that what I'm getting from this movie?
That was a common problem, is what they were getting at.
Okay.
A very common problem.
Because, like, that's her entire justification for staying with him, is, like, he's the only man who's not going to beat me.
Who hasn't beat her, yeah. Well, and look at, you know, the guy who she was with before him was Rodney.
Exactly.
And we see more of him than we needed to.
Way more.
I did not realize how
scrawny he is.
Oh, this was at a low point for Snoop Dogg on scrawniness.
Yeah.
He looked almost anorexic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could see rib. He's wearing a big-ass baggy white shirt, like tank top, and you can see ribs underneath.
Oh, yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah, I was looking at that going, wow, Snoop Dogg looks really terrible on this. Like, he's been on way too many drugs when this movie was made.
Super anemic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could even tell through the orange jumpsuit, like, he's calling from the California jail.
Yeah.
And you can just see underneath everything, the whole outfit is hanging off of him.
Yeah.
It's like you couldn't have found something a little bit smaller, maybe something that would have been more his size.
Yeah. Because
currently it looks like he's swimming in it.
No, this was Snoop Dogg back when he was doing way too many drugs.
Yeah.
And there are two things I want to say right now on this. Number one, I did not actually notice Snoop Dogg's scrawniness compared to his hair. Because that freaked me the hell out.
What, when it wasn't in cornrows?
Not in cornrows, which, by the way, that actually reminded me of Shepherd Book. But, but no, when he had that weird, like, yes, braid thing going on, that was really creepy.
Oh, that was Snoop Dogg's thing.
I know.
Like, yeah, you always saw him in braided cornrows.
Yeah, but the cornrows that he does now are fine. It's the weird going off in all different directions.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that was him.
Release the Kraken bullshit.
Yep. Yeah, that was tentacles. Snoop Dogg.
I know. The other thing I want to say is I just now found this movie, a version of this movie, in entirely black and white.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that would have helped.
And all I could say about this whole situation with the whole black and white movie,
mm-hmm,
is you can be baby boy, don't matter if you're black or white.
Oh, God.
So it's black and white and inverted all the colors so that all the actors are now suddenly white.
Oh, God. Where did you find this?
That was a joke.
No, that was entirely a joke.
I have another thing to add.
Hilarious.
After we finally see Snoop Dogg, I have another thing to add.
Mm.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for shizzle, my nizzle.
Yeah.
Somebody bitched on that broad. In the ribs.
Too far away. At least you guys are in the same time zone.
I can't reach through the microphone. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Rod, slap yourself in the broken ribs.
Ooh.
I would have to kill you. And I mean that quite literally, actually. And in the frequently asked questions on IMDb, the very first question, did Yvette get an abortion?
Yes. At the very beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Is that what was going on there?
That is what
yes.
That's the clinic they were standing in front of.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were constantly at, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, because she stops taking her birth control pills.
That woman must be very fertile.
So I thought they were at the clinic just, you know, confirming that she was pregnant with JoJo.
No. This is after JoJo's already been born.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
And you could couldn't you tell by the look on her face that there was something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she was, like, that very, very first scene when she's laying in bed just curled up, like, holding stuff, that's not a I just found I'm pregnant pose. That's a
I just had an abortion. I just
lost
being
it
pregnant.
Pose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so then you meet Rodney, and he moves in with Yvette, which I did not quite understand why or how this happened exactly the way it did.
Because
apparently,
Yvette
he showed up
is
on
really
our doorstep.
Weak.
Apparently, Rodney and Yvette were the first couple. Like, both of them, it was their first boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, they were both each other's firsts.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, he's got... Clearly, now he has a first attachment to her. Like, he even said that, you know, we're both each other's firsts and we're going to get married and all this crap. Like, he starts mm-hmm. going, spouting psycho babble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to get married. You're going to have, and then you're going to have my baby. Excuse me? After you invite yourself into my home? I don't think so.
Yeah. And again, this is Yvette being a really weak woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah,
she is.
Yeah. At that point, you could tell.
Okay. But still, doesn't someone, I mean, when you're released to someone's house under probation, don't they actually have to go in and sign a piece of paper?
Yep.
They're supposed to.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was under the impression.
Doesn't always happen, also. I'll say that.
Yeah. And I love the fact that she's trying to get him, this is just another example of how weak Yvette is, she's trying to get him, quote-unquote, out of the house, but she threatens him to call his probational officer. I'm like, dude, call him anyway. You want to get him out? Yeah. That's a great way to get him out.
That's like the nothing. First call I'd make.
I know. Yeah.
There's it's no, like,
I
would
have answered the
what
door.
Are you doing
I would have been
here?
Calling the cops.
Yeah, he walks himself in. I didn't invite him in. Come pick him up.
I know. It's like, I don't care how crazy you are. Although apparently he is very crazy because, you know, yeah. Yvette and Jody had had the fight and broke up. And he essentially moves in on her. And, yeah, the whole issue with he gets super jealous of Rodney and then goes completely off the deep end.
He
gangster style.
tries a drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
Which,
wait,
by the way,
the keyword on both of those was try.
Yeah, I just gotta say the drive-by shooting thing I thought was really well done.
It was, and also, what? I mean, the fact that it's probably the first time in a film I've ever seen a drive-by shooting miss.
I know. You know what? Not I mean? Just once.
Yeah, he shoots like five times and
I was
still.
Like, dude, I got a better shot than that. Yeah. Much better shot than that.
I've never fired a gun and I'm pretty sure I could have hit something besides, you know, air.
No, admittedly, he's not lining up his shot, so I give him credit on that. He's got it actually, handgun he has is actually really light and kind of has a little bit of a kick to it. And he's trying to shoot it from within a small, compact area. So essentially it's try not to let the kickback smack into the roof of the car because that suck or breaking the window on the way by because you can actually miss and hit the window, which would be funny.
Well,
but he didn't have, like, seriously, he had so much time to line up the shot. Mm-hmm. He just
at least the
there.
First one, because he was parked.
Yeah, he was at a stopped position.
Mm-hmm. He stops, rolls down the window, pulls the gun out, and everybody's still looking at him like, aren't you Yvette? And then he starts shooting, and they drive off as he's shooting. It's like,
well,
what? Can you tell even more? This is really bad acting, bad scenery, because he's holding the gun, like, pointing it at him, and then moves and points the gun away from him, and then starts shooting. I was like, a what now? Why did you get a shot lined up, pointing it at about the right angle, and then move the gun out of the way to not shoot him?
Well,
I don't understand this.
The first time you see it, it's shot in slow motion. From the time the window rolls all the way down, from that point on, it's in slow motion. The second time you see it, it's shot in actual time, in real time. And what happened is Tyrese jumps, he sees the gun come up, and he dives out just as Rodney starts firing, which is why Rodney shifted. But because Tyrese is laying on the ground, he doesn't get the angle when he starts driving, so he doesn't ever actually hit him.
He shifts the direction of the gun. Ahead. He starts pointing it towards the front of the car.
Yeah, he goes the opposite direction of
Jody.
Jody
jumps the other way.
Okay.
Excuse me, even
it's
more.
Like Jody went left and the gun went right.
Exactly. It's like, I don't understand why you just did that.
Anyway.
Oh, and this is. And we do have to point out that this is just after Jody has decided not to go kill Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, this obviously changes his mind, because, well, as long as Rodney's alive, Jody's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's kind of a duh.
And we've completely skipped over.
And neither is Yvette, and that's what changes his mind.
Or JoJo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, and by the way, we completely skipped over the scene where his bike gets stolen, which is probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah,
they
we
go
did
in and they line up these kids.
That.
Mm-hmm.
That cracks me up.
Yeah.
Okay, and that then was one of them,
and then Sweet Pea takes off his belt and literally whips like the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
and
was
I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
How many of us had a belt taken to us when
that
we were kids?
That just reminded me of something.
Probably all of us.
Actually, it wasn't all that long ago. I took a belt to my little cousin. He's 17.
Sorry.
He deserved it. I did too. I took a belt
off. That's usually about the time that happens. Shit, like, so strange. You're usually older by the time you get the belt.
Well, he was pulling some crap with meth, and yeah.
Oh.
I caught
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he deserved it.
He got the skin tore off his back.
Yeah.
Okay, so then blah, 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 and Jody goes, and they end up killing, or he ends up kneecapping Rodney, and then Sweet Pea kills him, even though Jody decided not to.
When Jody was aiming the gun for the kill shot on Rodney, what did he see that made him stop?
Himself.
Because it flickered.
He saw it.
Yeah, he saw himself.
It was a very...
It was way back at the beginning.
It was the dreams of him dying.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It was this
whole...
All I saw was it flicker.
Which is something I found really interesting, because both Jody and Yvette have identical dreams of him getting killed. Did y'all notice that?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah. Yep. I also, at that point in time... I saw the rest of the movie, so I kind of stopped paying attention. I said, oh, is that how this movie's going to go? Okay, they'll probably throw a little bit of twist on the end so he doesn't actually die. It's probably somebody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, in the drive-by scene when they first showed it and they showed him getting shot, I'm like, they're not really going to end this movie this way, are they?
Yeah.
But anyway, and then you have Melvin and Jody finally bonding over the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Jody tries shooting his own brains out, which was interesting to see.
It would have made the movie much more interesting ending.
Mm.
Yeah. Also a little bit weird. Because this is the point where that big, giant face... sitting above the bed of a man who got shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if this is right.
I'm sitting there watching Jody hold the pistol to his head, and I expect him to look at the camera and say, Full Metal Jacket. Did nobody else feel that way?
No. I actually somehow missed the part where he held the gun up to his own head.
It was right before he slid to the floor.
Yeah, see, apparently I was looking away from the screen or something.
Yeah, did it for a second, and then he slides to the floor. And for some reason, I could have swore that that blanket that Melvin uses to wipe the gun down slid to the floor with him.
I think it did.
Yeah.
But later it's on the chair.
Hmm.
Melvin picks it up off the chair that Jody had been sitting in.
There's so many continuity goofs in this movie, though, it's not funny.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen movies with more, but IMDb lists a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
For one thing, the daughter never ages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, then you have, that's pretty much the end. You have Jody righting all the wrongs in his life, and everything's good.
Oh, no. No. You missed the whole moral point of this movie that you get at the very end.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In order for a black guy to be happy and married in Los Angeles, he's got to grow up and kill somebody.
I thought that the moral point of this movie was that you should listen to more Marvin Gaye.
Oh yeah, that too.
that didn't happen till like the end of
exactly.
the movie.
But that was the moral point of this movie. Marvin Gaye should be listened to by everyone.
Yeah.
In order to have a wide, beautiful, loving world.
I kept on waiting for the psychiatrist to come in. I was like, so when is he going to go see the shrink? When is he going to go see the shrink? Yeah. At what point does he go and see the shrink about all these problems? Apparently he never goes to see a psychiatrist.
I think that the shrink, I think that the use of the shrink at the beginning of this was explaining where the idea for this movie came from. John Singleton, the writer and director, heard this theory and came up with the concept for this movie based on hearing that theory.
It sounds about right.
You know, I just realized why there's so much of a Marvin Gaye theme in this movie. Because the entire thing, you're staring at it going, what's going on?
I thought you were going to say because it's black. But
oh, you racist. I call it racism.
Yep.
I'm like, because the entire movie's got black folks in it. Oh, no, you actually mean something. Never mind.
Anyways. Okay.
Again, I really think there should have been, like, a pop-up saying, hey, we noticed you're white. Like, there really needed to be a warning on there.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Movies in the Buffed racist.
Now I'm going to get hate mail.
Shit, hate mail would be a step up for this show.
Send them film.
One-star reviews for black people.
And just for the record, not all black women are ugly. It's just the ones they threw in this movie. Sorry.
Yeah.
God, they're a hell of a lot better than some of the women up here, but, you know, it's just me. Actually, that was something I did notice. There were a lot of very, very attractive people in this movie. I was like, wow, they actually are all very good looking. They all look better than the average Joe I see walking down the street up here. It was a little too Hollywood by that fact, right? Yeah. It was just a little too like, wow, why do you all look good? With the exception of, like, I swear they only showed maybe two fat people and one anorexic, which I'm looking at Snoop Dogg.
There were a couple of big chicks in here, but if you notice, they all seem to be older black ladies.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
like friends of, like, the friend of his mom, or, you know, that age.
Yep.
Okay, so favorite movie quote. See Carl?
No.
Oh no, you wanted to go after. Okay. Scully.
My favorite movie quote was Melvin when he notices the two boys sitting on the bed in Jody's room was guns and butter. There are two types of guys, the guys who have guns and the guys who have butter.
He said niggas.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know what? I've already pulled a lot of the racist cards. I'm going to hold my tongue on that one.
Hey, you got a directly quote there. Anyway, all right, Lisa?
Everyone gets used. Men use women, women use men. You just gotta face the fact that you're gonna be used.
I don't remember that one.
That was his mom. That was his mom talking to Yvette.
Yep.
That was his mom's great monologue talking with when she was talking to Yvette.
Huh. And Yvette seemed so hurt by that. And I was like, really? I've known that for a really long time, and
but that wasn't
older than you.
I've got to give that whole scene with Yvette and his mom out in the garden. That is probably the best dialogue in this movie. Is her monologue there?
Agreed.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And
yet, I didn't use it for my quote.
Okay, Carl, what's your quote?
Unstable creatures. That's my new word for y'all.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You just stole my quote.
And you know what? I'm going to admit, women are very unstable.
No,
I love the fact that he says it's my new word for y'all. And I'm like, dude, unstable creatures is two words. I was like, count them, dude.
That is
one,
true.
Two.
Well, okay, I had two quotes. Scully stole my first one, and so I fell back to my fallback quote, and then Carl steals it. Oh, that sucks. Okay, so here is the only quote I have left on my list. Papa, your bitch ass ain't gonna do shit.
I don't even remember where that is. Because that
Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
When he's watching Popeye towards the end of the movie.
Just
before
him and Yvette broke up, right before he realizes her car's been stolen.
She takes her car back,
Mm-hmm. I just saw another one that I really like. I hadn't seen everything except Christ anyway.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like, really?
Like Yvette's quote right after that. I stole my car, click.
Yeah.
Yes, I stole my car.
All right, so where are we at? Best Buffed
Awards. We're at Best Buffed.
Right. Oh, I got some for this.
Do you want to start us off with Best Buffed?
Yes, I actually do really want to give this movie the award of making the white person feel so uncomfortable while watching this. Congratulations, you get an award for that one.
The Baby Boy Award for Uncomfortable White Viewers.
Yes.
I'm calling it the Baby Boy Hatin' Whitey.
Yeah.
Hatin' Whitey Award. Or fuck you, Whitey.
I think it's one really big joke against white people. Like, haha, I bet you this is a really funny movie. We're going to make all these white people watch it, and they're going to think it's true. It's like, I feel like there's a big joke out there on me. Yeah, and that and the also a best buff for seeing some really fine black ass, like really fine. you were not like shown just one man's ass. You were shown several men's ass, and
two.
Not all
bad. Oh, I just got a ringtone of Scully saying really fine black ass.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well. What's the English phrase for words that all start with the same sound or letter?
I'd have known if you hadn't asked me.
Onomatopoeia? What?
Yeah, onomatopoeia. We have the Baby Boy Award for black ass.
Yeah.
Or for black butt.
Black. Oh, wow. Okay. Lisa, best buffed?
I finally came up with an award to match Jocelyn's ugly hat. The Ugly Dress Award. Okay. Jody sold a pink ugly dress.
Yeah, that pink ugly jumper to the gay hairstylist.
Oh, wow.
That was just the ugliest dress.
$40? You tripping.
Okay. I've given this movie... Was that all your awards?
No.
Oh, sorry.
And then I had the... Interesting bicycles made to look like motorcycles.
Yeah, which was a thing in.
It's still a thing.
Yeah, it's still a thing, but it became. It was a big thing then. Or it was just starting to become a big thing then.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Carl?
So, I have three awards for this movie.
Okay.
We have the Tyrese Gibson Playing a Bitch-Ass Punk Award.
Bitch-Ass Punk Award. I like it.
Yep. We have the, let's see, we are giving the Worst Sexual Position Ever Award to the Old Nigga Squat Fuck.
Wow.
And here's the one that's going to get us 1-star reviews and hate mail. The one that you reminded me of in the middle of our roundtable. We are giving this movie the Roots Award for Best Beating of a Black Kid.
Oh! Oh, he wins.
Yeah, we're going to get 1-star reviews and hate mail. We might even get death threats.
That's possible. Carl, I just have to point this out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, crap, I can't point this out on the air. Never mind. I'll point it out
later. Okay.
Really, you can't point it out on the air because I'm pretty sure.
I just went there and you can't point this out.
Especially because you just went there, I can't point it out because it deals with the location situation.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, good point.
But anyways,
you don't need to know where to send the hate mail to physically.
So anyway, my best buffed.
Death threats.
I am giving this movie the Luke Skywalker Cave Toppling the Villain Award. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but what I'm giving this for is because of the scene where he kills Rodney and then sees his own face in Rodney.
Oh,
yeah.
In the cave.
Yep.
Okay.
And I am also giving this one the Black Ass Peter Pan Award.
Black what? Ass Award. There just needs to be a Black Ass Award.
No. Nobody gave it that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to figure out where he got the Peter Pan from.
Because
he never grows up.
Peter Pan.
Yeah.
He has a severe Peter Pan complex. Rodney is very obviously Captain Hook. You know, Yvette is very obviously Wendy, who he never is fully with. You know, I mean, it's literally this whole thing metaphor.
It kind of is. I can give him that.
Actually, you're wrong. He is fully with because she's wearing a ring on her finger in the last scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's talking about through the whole movie.
Yeah, through the whole movie. It's Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And Baby Boy is Peter Pan.
Yeah.
The only character that I can't quite place, and I'm thinking the big Indian guy in the books. Did you ever read the Peter Pan book?
Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name.
I can't either.
No, but I watched the Disney version.
But as far as...
there is a big Indian guy in it.
Yeah, but he had a lot more of a role in the books.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the only character I can see Melvin. I can't really place him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, beyond that, I'm giving it the Black Ass Peter Pan Award.
Okay.
Okay. Where
Which
you playing?
Makes sense now.
I'm playing with the Willy. Carl.
Okay, where are you playing with your Willy? What number is tattooed on Melvin's arm?
13.
Huh?
13.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
It's a 3-digit number.
Lisa got it.
It's a 3-digit number.
I was thinking of Ving Rhames' tattoos. One is 187, one is 13. But the 13 never actually showed.
Yeah. Let's see. What is Jody's mom thinking about adding to her garden next year?
Summer squash.
Oh, that was quick.
Sorry.
It's okay, you got it.
I know how to grow it. Yep. I know exactly what she was, and it is much easier.
I couldn't remember if it was summer squash or okra. I was trying to decide which one I wanted to.
I knew it was summer squash.
Oh, we did not even go into the racism inherent in her garden.
Oh, I know. I didn't.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's not.
Anyway, okay. Lisa, you want to do? Where are you playing with you?
Where does Melvin say he live? He lives.
Inglewood. Yeah. Got you first.
Let me rephrase. Physical address.
Oh, 51st and Vine?
No.
Oh, shit. I know this one and I'm trying to think of it.
I don't remember. I've got to be close, but I can't remember exactly what it is.
Hoover.
No.
No. That was the gang that had the territory where he grew up.
101st and Vermont.
Yeah.
All right.
At one point in time, Jody's mother says that this is her house. Jody corrects her. Whose house is it?
Grandma's.
That one I'll give you. Okay, so I have one.
Skelly has one, and I have one.
Yep.
Who's next?
Okay, Skelly is next.
All right. Oh, no, I forgot my question.
This is why I wrote mine down.
I know one is another garden one, ironically enough. Can you identify, and this is hilarious, and now I know you guys are not going to be able to do this. Can you identify what plants are sitting right in front of her little table area? And I do mean in front, like you have to walk around them to get out of that little garden alcove.
Oh, let's see.
Tomatoes.
Well, there's tomato plants right beside it. There's corn on the other side of it. And is it collard greens?
No.
No?
I don't remember. Honestly.
Talking about the really short purple and greenish ones, right?
That are right in the middle of the garden. At least you got that.
Yeah, I knew the ones you were thinking of. I don't know exactly what they are.
He said purple and green. I'm going to go with either eggplant or cannabis.
No, neither. I'm going to say mustard greens if it's not collard greens.
No.
No, what was it?
It's purple cabbage.
Interesting, because that's the one thing she never mentions when she's planning out her garden.
Nope. There's a lot of stuff in that garden that she mentions that's not actually there.
Yeah.
You said corn? There's no corn. That's not corn.
No, there is corn. I think it's up against the back edge of it. It never corn. Actually, you know, produces.
Yeah, no, that's not corn. I was like, oh, sugar cane. That's great. That's great. That's not racist at all.
Okay. Hey, Scully, you want to ask your other one?
The other one. Oh, crap, what was it? Should love it when you forget what it was. Oh, what's Jody's real name?
Joseph Summers.
Yeah.
Wow.
He says as he looks at the IMDb page for the movie.
Oh. Yeah.
That's cheating. He says it once throughout the entire movie. He actually says his name as an introduction.
Where did he introduce himself?
It was in the salon when he was talking to the chick about selling it.
Yeah. Okay. So I suppose it's my turn since I have...
Carl has two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, there are three characters... Jody's always getting into fights throughout the movie, but there are only three characters that ever struck him in the face. Name all three characters.
Melvin.
Yvette, Melvin, and what was the kid's name?
I don't think they actually gave a name.
Yeah, he's got a name. What was
it? One of those kids that stole his bike and his wine.
Yeah, Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes, yeah. And I also would have accepted Sweet Pea, because technically he did strike Jody in the face in the beginning. But they were slap boxing.
Although technically, Melvin never actually strikes him in the face.
He hit him in the jaw.
Yeah.
That's face.
Yeah, no, he... Face. Did he
How
hit
do you
him?
Think
he
hit him. Broke coffee just, table?
He hit him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I was thinking of the other scene where he puts him in the chokehold.
Yeah. No.
Okay. There is a scene in which Jody goes into a liquor store right before his bike gets stolen. And... has an argument with a guy because he hands him a cup, a paper cup.
Mm-hmm.
What liquor was he buying?
Oh, crap.
Crap. I know. I even know the price of it, but I cannot think of the name.
I should have.
You see, when I saw that, I went, they don't sell that up here.
I've never heard of it either.
I hadn't either. It's,
I know they don't sell
it up here.
I know
the price of it is $15.15.
Yeah, it starts with an A. It's like Alarati or... Amirati something.
It started with a C.
No, it starts with an A, but I cannot remember how to pronounce it. I can't remember the exact pronunciation of it.
Do you give up?
It was some kind of really cheap wine, and it started with an A.
It's actually not a wine at all.
Is it not? No. Okay.
It's like a fruit juice, almost.
Yeah. What is the actual pronunciation of it?
The name is Elise.
Elise, that was it.
Elise is a premium blend of French vodka and cognac.
Ah.
So it's one of the other.
Yeah, that is so not a wine.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was vodka or cognac, but it's one of the other.
Yeah.
And for the record, he stated the price at $15.15.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. After tax. Okay.
He said $15.15 exact.
All right, now it's time for audience questions. I think this round goes to Carl.
Yep.
I think you're right.
Which makes sense, because he was the one taking notes.
Yeah, well.
Okay. I don't remember what Yvette's best friend's name was. What is the name of her boyfriend?
That's a good one, actually. I would have never gotten
it. Oh, yeah. Okay, it took me a minute to figure out who you were talking about, but okay.
Yeah. I already told you this audience question. You got it right when I told it to you.
Okay.
Yes, but I've been listening to my MP3 player for the last how many hours?
Yeah, good point.
Scully, audience question?
Oh, actually, what was the make, model, and year of the toy car that Jody makes in the very first scene?
Ooh.
Awesome. Wow.
Have gotten that one.
I totally saw that one. Oh my god, I have written in one of those. But anyway, that was fine.
Lisa, audience question.
Where did Jody shoot Rodney?
Wasn't that already given in the episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
That was my fault.
Why do you think I went at you?
Should have messaged me. I would have given you one because I've actually got two that I can't decide between.
Give them both.
All right, I'll give them both. Jody rides a bike when Yvette takes her car back. What is the color and decal? Sorry, what is the color of the bike and what does the decal say along the side?
I know one of those two.
Okay. My other question actually is, what name one of the females in the pictures above Jody's modeling bench?
Hmm. I never paid attention to them.
Actually, I only recognized one.
Yeah, there was one.
I can see the face of one of them.
Yep. Yeah, there was one straight on headshot of one of them, which was actually pretty funny. She looked so young in that picture.
Oh, wait. I'll throw in another audience question.
Okay.
Who is the only black actress named in this movie who does not appear?
Same person.
Another really good
person. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because I didn't see the pictures. That's funny.
So, remember, audience, you can answer any of those questions by emailing us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. Any correct answers will get you mentioned on the air, and given proper recording equipment, we'll give you a call while while we're recording. And three shots right there. Do it. And that way you can give your shout outs on the air. And we'll move on into mental debuff.
I have a question before we move on into mental debuff.
Oh, we have no new 5-star reviews. I checked right before we recorded.
Yeah.
All right. Now we can move on into the mental debuff.
All right. Carl, you are today's Were You Playing With Your Willy winner. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Carl never really plays with his Willy. It takes him too long to find it. But if you'd like to go ahead and debuff.
This movie was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, which is good because I thought it was going to be worse than terrible, but it's still not all that great. Really, Rod, this is your crybaby.
I can't say this was nearly as bad as Crybaby.
No, but as far as movies you've picked so far, this is your crybaby.
Fair enough. All right, Lisa?
This movie made me want to just have my life back. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Granted, I'm not going to go so far as to say that it was as bad as your crybaby, but I will say it was as bad as Carl's Heathers.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't want to watch this movie for entertainment value ever again.
Okay, and as a disclaimer, I would like to say that watching this movie as a critic rather than just watching it because it's on TV, I realize a lot of the problems with it now that I did not realize the last time I watched this movie.
Yeah.
So, and also, in all fairness, the last time I saw this movie from beginning to end was before I graduated high school. So
that would make a difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge
difference.
Oh, makes
sense now.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so Scully. Mental debuff.
For anybody who's white, it will make you shockingly aware of how white and uncultured and ignorant you really are. And I can't say as to how it would make you feel if you were a black person, because I'm white.
Say something about black asses.
Yes, because you need another phrase of me saying black asses for a ringtone.
Exactly.
That's what it needs to be.
Yeah, we're still going to get death threats.
I know. Instead of Rod's rant, it's just going to be me saying black asses for over and over and over and over again instead of the outro.
There you go.
I have an addition to Scully's Scully's mental debuff, though. Earlier today, when Scully was double-checking to make sure that we were recording today, she made mention of the fact that she had only watched a third of the movie and she already wanted 2 hours of her life back. And this movie is only an hour and a half long.
No. It's an hour and 59 minutes. Okay.
IMDb credited it as 130.
Oh, no. On Netflix, it's an hour and 59.
Oh, wait. That would be...
Think about that, Carl.
130 minutes. I was thinking hour and a half.
Wow.
Wow.
That's me doing bad math there. Drink.
Drink.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, yeah, no. It made it feel so much longer.
And I thought my math's bad. Oh.
It made it feel so much longer than it really was.
Oh, God, yes. This, I looked up at the clock at one point and realized it was like 5 minutes to five, and I'm like, wow, it feels so much later than that.
I had done that at least, like, every single time. It was like, I have got to be at least halfway through this movie. Scroll down to the bottom. Damn it! All right, I get it. I'm guilty. I'm a horrible, horrible person. All right, can we move on?
Wow. Wow. I feel like an ass right now, actually. Anyway. Oh, what time is it?
It's time for Rod's Rants. Finally.
I was thinking we were going to call it Carl's Castigations again.
No. Rod's back. Rod gets to do it.
Oh, it's one of my few pleasures in life.
Hey, I had to write the rant for one of my favorite movies, so come on.
There you go. All right. Baby Boy is a niggas Peter Pan complex put on film, which is enough to make Spike Lee say, oh, hell no, and Maya Angelou say, fuck this shit. It's a great movie if you want to see 45 minutes. Okay, so a lot longer, but 45 minutes of Tyrese Gibson's naked black ass fucking ugly black chicks. But in all fairness, Snoop Dogg is in it, so yeah, it still suckizzles my fizzle off my dizzle, and also, yes, that is the dumb fuck from Hanging with Mr. Cooper. But as it is, this is a black Peter Pan from a faux hood, and honestly, very poor rendition. What's next? A black rendition of Wizard of Oz starring Michael Jackson? Blaxploitation at its worst. Honestly, this is why racism exists. You people who want to exploit niggas for being niggas and wave it in the face of white supremacist groups and expect them to, what, have tea and crumpets in your mom's garden while watching Ving Rhames' 10 Potmatoes? That was still a better time than watching this piece of carbon-scored shit. I went there. And yes, that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's Rants.
I'm going to have to say, yes, if we're going to get death threats, we might want to add the email address again.
Yep. Send your death threats to inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Was that racist enough? I feel like I could have squeezed a little more racism in there.
No, that was plenty racist enough.
Did anybody get the carbon scored shit thing?
No.
Nobody got that joke? Okay. I do apologize, like, trying to say this. I wrote this as a tongue twister, not realizing that my, you know, pain pills were going to be kicking in before I had to say it, so I do apologize for that. But
you didn't apologize for the racism. No.
He still has not apologized for making us watch this movie. What the hell are you talking about?
In all seriousness, I will apologize for my racism when... What's his name? Here. John Singleton apologizes for his racism.
Yeah.
And for the record, John Singleton is the writer and director of this movie.
Yeah. And black.
And black. He's a racist.
Okay, after making us watch this movie, Rod, I think one of the three of us ought to make you watch a white trailer trash movie.
We did. It was called Crybaby. You did it.
No, that wasn't white trailer trash.
Actually, it wasn't even a week ago.
Go ahead. A couple people in it were, but that's beside the point.
Seriously, though, it wasn't even a week ago I watched One Night in Paris. That was enough of a white trailer trash movie.
No, that's more bureaucratic white trash. Like, what is gonna... trailer trash is like The Hills Have Eyes, kind of scary. Cannibalism and other fun stuff.
Scully, in all seriousness, I'm going to have you come down here at some point and ride around with me at my job just so you can see some. I'm going to, like, put a picture up, like, email it to you so you can see what I get to see today.
Come down anywhere in this area.
Yeah. I know. I'm from the far north.
I'm from the far north. We are a different breed of redneck. We are a down-to-earth breed of redneck. We don't exaggerate about our redneck, but there are those little things that we do that make everybody else creeped out.
Get that. But anyway, for more of Scully's redneckism and more of my personal brand of racism, more of Carl's Carlness, and I don't even know what to say about Lisa here, but... Make sure you join us next week.
I'm not sure whether to be insulted or complimented.
Make sure you join us next week at Movies in the Buff, where we're buffing Extreme Justice. I don't know anything about this movie. Does anybody know anything about this movie ever?
No, it's a Lou Diamond Phillips cop movie in L.A.
Wow.
Yeah, that was... only reason I picked this movie was because it had Lou Diamond Phillips in it.
Made in 1993.
Yeah. Lou Diamond Phillips plays the newest member of a very elite and very secret LAPD division. Their mission is to target important criminals and get them to stop blah, 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 blah. I'm not reading the rest of it from IMDb.
Yeah, I'm reading the Netflix
secret?
Version. And it
what
really
is
skipped
secret?
Over the fact that he's like...
Secret.
Yeah, it completely skips over the fact that he's suspended from LAPD and gets a new job in an investigation section, special investigation section. So, I don't know, in an underground, I don't know. This is going to be one of those really bad 80s blow-em-up action movies that was made in the 90s.
Yep.
I see this coming already.
But yeah.
Make sure you join us anyway for Extreme Justice in the Buff next week. And until then, keep watching those movies in the Buff, because you know it's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, Buffers. It's your favorite host. I'm taking a second to let you know you can find us on Facebook and Google+, and have some absolutely naughty conversations with your other buffers. And as always, if you need to talk or flirt with our team of debauchery, you can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. That's 3 Fs. Trust me, we love to talk to our fans, especially the good-looking ones. Movies in the Buff was recorded with Creative Commons, Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 U.S. License.